Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, of the making of books, there is no end. How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Well, hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, on our last program, I did discuss Charles Krauthammer's essay of Dogs and Men. Now, if you remember, it was Thanksgiving week, and I wanted to talk about something lighthearted and revealing about Mr. Krauthammer's family life. But then I introduced a second essay on the subject of dogs and men from Chapter 4 of his book, Things That Matter, and that chapter is titled Follies. Now, this essay is called Save the Border Collie. Now, today, what I'd like to do for our program is to continue with this essay. And if time permits me, I'd like to add in another essay from Chapter 4 titled The Inner Man Who Cares. Now, both of these essays have more to do with the follies of men and not dogs. And that's why I want to kind of bridge these two together. Now, to help me do this, back in the studio with me today is my partner in literature, my sweet wife, Deborah. So welcome back, Deborah.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Well, yeah. You should be happy to be back because of all your pie making you missed last week's discussion. So, and I know you really wanted to talk about dogs. And, of course, you're such a big pet lover, and we probably could have talked a little bit about cats, too.
But
because Charles did talk about cats,
yes,
remember?
He did. Yes,
the feline. So, mm-hmm. So let's talk about Save the Border Collie. Now, in the last program, I did read the opening statements. I won't reread that today, but I do want to just read the first quote. And to me, this is like classic Krauthammer again. Here, the title of the essay is Save the Border Collie, but that's not what he opens the essay with. And I'll just read the quote. And it's just really just classic Krauthammer. It says, the dumbing of America has gone far enough. Yes, we've gotten used to falling SAT scores, coming in dead last in international math competition. High schoolers who cannot locate the Civil War to the nearest half century, but we've got to draw the line somewhere, and I say, draw it at dogs. And here we are talking about dogs, but he's talking about, really, the failure in education. And he's talking about the dumbing of education. So what does this have to do with dogs?
Well, yes, it's interesting that he would be concerned about the border collie and about the American Kennel Club. That he knows a lot about different things, but it's interesting that he knows about the American Kennel Club. But the next paragraph is where he says, the last month, the American Kennel Club, the Politburo of American Dog Breeding, in other words, like it's like a communist, political control, over dog breeding,
right,
decided to turn the world's smartest dog, the Border Collie, into a moron. Actually, it voted 11-1 to begin proceedings to turn into a show dog, which will amount to the same thing.
Now, I know you weren't here last week, but he loves his Border Collie.
Yes.
if you remember, he had a Border Collie named Hugo.
Yes.
And then, of course, he had the beautiful black lab named Chester. And, of course, he considered that if he came home from work one day, Hugo would be reading the newspaper and Chester would be licking people at the front door.
Yes.
And I think it's amazing that here with his essays, and I'm really trying to learn from them, and there are some people here that would like me to use, let's say, his essays to kind of me starting to write more like him. And so he is really a master at it. But he's really he's using dogs or animals again, almost like they did with Animal Farm. I mean, Orwell with Animal Farm. You know, he talked about the Russian Revolution, with animals. And so here, Krauthammer is going for something more than just the American Kennel Club and more than just dogs. But it's still, it's still just a great essay. And you know, he has a way with words. He can get more out of a paragraph with just a few words than anybody else I've read. And so we know that it really is about border collies, but it's actually about a lot more. All right, let me just read the next quote down. He says, "What is the border collie?" And he goes on to answer, and he says, "A breed developed in the border country between England and Scotland for one thing only, its ability to herd sheep, though if necessary, it can work cattle or hogs or even turkeys." And then he puts in parenthesis, "Our border collie, deprived of such gainful employment, likes to swim out to the middle of a pond and herd ducks." So there's his sense of humor, but there he's also talking about Hugo.
Well, I was just going to say, I remember when we went to visit my sister and brother-in-law, and they had a border collie, and we'd take a walk, and that she was always trying to herd us together when we were out walking, always. Right. She was trying to keep us all together.
Got to stay in a group.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Eight people, stay in a group. Don't get separated. So again, remember now, this chapter is follies. So he's going to talk to us about the follies now of what's happening to the breed of the border collie. But he does go on to say, I think maybe, by the way, for all you people listening out there, we're on page 71 of the book if you want to follow along. Let's go to the top of page 72 quickly. And here he describes the border collie, and he says, "It is a creature of uncanny intelligence and jaw-dropping capacity to communicate with humans, able to herd 300 sheep at a time at a distance of a mile and half from its shepherd. It is," testifies Baxter Black, and that's NPR's cowboy poet, philosopher, and former large animal veterinarian. So that's all in parentheses. He said, "It is one of the greatest genetic creations on the face of the earth." Now, he's not talking there about what man has created. You know, he's talking more about what God has created. You know, he's the great, you know, genetic creator. And so he said, "But now it faces genetic ruin. When bred for looks, great swaths of the border collie population, which comes in all shapes and sizes, will be condemned to genetic oblivion." So essentially, what he's really starting to get at is really the way human beings want to mess with genetics. And here, it's like this Politburo, American Kennel Politburo, you know, they don't care about the work that a dog could do. They don't care about what a dog can achieve. They just want it to look good.
Right. Yes. They are concerned about the outward appearance, you know, which we know is you know, then, like he says, usually you can't have both, you know, beauty and brains. So, yes.
Yeah, well, people want to try that. But, you know, I think if we go back now to the first paragraph, think about that again. He's talking about things getting dumbed down. And he talks about, you know, the SAT scores. And, of course, that kind of dates. You can see it dates the book because right now it's the ACT scores that are most important in colleges today. So this is kind of older. But still, I think he's really taking a jab at all of society. You know, all society is being dumbed down. And, you know, how many people in this society want to really look good? But they're hollow. There's no substance to them anymore. And so in some ways he's saying, here's this poor dog, you know, here's this dog that's really smart, it's really intelligent, and now the American Kennel Club wants to get their fingers in their genetics and you know, begin to manipulate them. And so here's this quote, another one from page 72. I think it's just an amazing quote. He said, "It would be nice to breed for beauty and brains, but history and genetics teach that the confluence of the two is as rare in dogs as it is in humans." So you don't necessarily always get beauty and brains. You know, and if you look at Krauthammer's life, I mean, you and I have talked about this already, is not many people knew that he was paralyzed at such a young age. And even, you know, on Fox, when he was a Fox commentator, they hid the fact that he was completely paralyzed. And they would film him in such a way as you didn't see that his neck had to be braced so he could talk. And, you know, every now and then you could notice the way he, you know, he had to breathe because he had to have his head up. But he may not have had a lot of beauty, but he sure had a lot of brains. And so the two don't necessarily go together. Now, he just goes on in the essay, and again, this is a little bit of a longer quote, but he's getting to the facts now. So he opened it up, this whole thing about dogs with the dumbing down in American education. And, you know, he's gone after, you know, the American Kennel Club for their wanting to get in the mix here. But notice what he says here, and I think this is an important quote where he's really starting to give us the facts. He says, "Inbreeding in the pursuit of man-made standards of beauty has reduced other breeds to ruin." And so what he's saying is there's a history of what these breeders do to animals.
And it's a man-made standard.
It's a man-made standard, yes. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So in the 1950s, writes Mark Dare in the Atlantic Monthly, "Show people turned the German Shepherd into a weak-tipped animal with a foul temper and bizarre downward-sloping hindquarters." Now, I am afraid of German Shepherds because they don't like me. And they bite me. And I keep telling people that have German Shepherds, and they always assure me, "No, our German Shepherd's different. It won't bite you." And I get bitten every time. So there's something between German Shepherds and I that, you know, that they just don't like me.
And that's really funny because you love dogs.
Oh, I love dogs.
Yeah, that's what's funny.
But even, you know, with our, I was telling everybody the last program that we do have our little dachshund. And, of course, they've been inbred. And when they get older, they get breathing problems. And, you know, Phoebe's been actually pretty young, but now she's getting that breathing problem in her neck where her neck's, you know, closes up and she's, you know, it's like you wonder is she going to make it? Is she going to live to the next breath? And she always does. But that's what happens when there's all these inbreedings for looks. And, you know, the dachshund was originally bred to get in and ferret out little animals, you know, like skunks and all that out of the rocks. And even though, you know, Phoebe, now she just, you know, digs into a blanket. She can't dig into the ground anymore. but it's just a shame. She's been bred for looks. And, of course, our former dachshund, you know, she was all poofy and had all this hair, but it was crazy. Now, he goes on to say, "The Cocker Spaniel lost its ability to hunt. The Bulldog and the Boston Terrier have been given such exaggerated heads that the females regularly need C-sections to give birth." I mean, look at what man has done. It says, "As for the AKC's Irish Setters," says veterinarian Michael W. Fox, "they're so dumb they get lost on the end of their leash." You know, I always wanted an Irish Setter.
They're pretty.
They are pretty, but that's it. That's it. They are the dumbest animals, and they won't stay home. They're always running, and they'll run right into traffic, you know, and of course... you know, that's what happens. They run into traffic and they're dead, you know. So there's a lot more to this essay than just discussion of dogs. And that's what I want people out there to understand. He's using breeding as an example of what's, you know, what men do and kind of like the follies of men. I mean, we talk about the follies. This is what he's talking about. He goes on to say then, and again, I think this is another important quote. It says, "The genetics behind such sad stories is straightforward." And he's quoting a professor of genetics now. He says, "In genetics, selection for one trait usually comes at the expense of another," explains Jasper Rhine, professor of genetics and former director of the Human Genome Center at the Lawrence Berkeley Labs. "The notion that one could achieve a standard conformation for border collies and maintain their working qualities is simply foolish, which is why the Border Collie people are prepared to sue to keep the AKC snout from under their tent." You can see where he's going, and he's letting Jasper Rhine, you know, make the comment for him, is that you know, we've written articles, by the way, and I've written articles for thetrumpet.com and for the Philadelphia Trumpet on the Human Genome Project. And the thing is, it's really a pretty dangerous project. What they want to do is they want to start now playing. They've been doing this with dogs, and they can't even learn that they've weakened dogs. Now they want to begin to mess with human genetics. They say they're not, but there is someone is going to try and make super kids, or they're going to try and make super, soldiers, but the thing is what could it do to them? And here we know from just the fact of, what happened to German Shepherds and what happened to Irish Setters is, something really drastically bad can happen. And so it's a lesson. I still think we need to learn. And it's not an easy lesson to learn for people. And I think Krautheimer, again, he could take some of these unique situations and he could weave it into such a way that he kind of draws us in, he gets us interested, and then he really wants us to start thinking about what's happening in society. And I just feel like this essay, even though it's on dogs, it's really there to point a finger at, human beings. Are you thinking about what you're doing? And he goes on to say, why should anyone else care? He said, why should anyone care about that? Why should anyone care about border collies? And he goes on to answer. He says, well, a society that grieves for the accidental demise of the snail darter and the spotted owl that not one in a million Americans have ever seen shall not easily acquiesce to the deliberate destruction of a unique breed of animals whose fate so intimately twined with man's. And so we do have a lot of people today, and especially on the left, that are really upset about, what happens to this animal and what happens to that animal. And, they get so upset about climate change. And yet, if you look at some of these cities that are being led by Democratic leaders or leaders on the left or liberal leaders that will cry all day about climate change, their cities are a disaster. They're full of garbage. And, there's Los Angeles, there's San Diego, there's San Francisco. These they have changed all the laws, and you can't get people off the street. You got to let them stay on the street, and here people are just using streets as toilets, and now in Los Angeles, they're really afraid the plague is going to happen.
So all the environmentalists on the left that are concerned about the environment, they're not concerned about that environment. So
no.
Yeah, it is. Kind of interesting.
Yeah. He said Americans are dealing with this. He said, border collies, are they truly smarter than a chimpanzee? Ask Black. Can they change the course in midair, drag Nell from the tracks, and locate missing microfiche? Yes, I believe they can. They are the best of the best. And so you can train these dogs to do even more for us. And, what an amazing thing that is there. Now he goes on to say, and for those who find such fascination with dogs self-indulgent sentimentalism, who care as little for the border collie as they do for the snail darter, consider this. In a world of rising crime and falling standards, of broken cities and failing schools, the border collie is one of the few things that works. Then he asks, must we ruin this too? Reduce it to imbecility in the name of prettiness. so you have to, again, that's really getting to the heart of the matter, is look at society. It really is dumbing down. And, he wrote this in 1994. Think about how ahead of his time his thinking is. Because here we are, 2019, and it's far worse than it was in 1994. He's talking about broken cities. And, here we have the cities are breaking down so bad, why we're in danger of plague. And, it's not our desire or our job to be politically motivated, and we're not that way. But here, in many ways, God has created this incredible environment for us, and we don't even know how to take care of it. And here, God did give us animals. I know we definitely believe God as creator, and he was a very smart being that created animals to actually help us live well. Not only do we eat them, you know, we have border collies that can help, well, herd the sheep. They can herd cattle. They can even herd people. I know, you know, when we were up in Tulsa getting ready to run that marathon, by the way, with 7,000 other people, or the half marathon, and they had that little miniature border collie who wants to herd us, you know, and we could squash her like a bug. But anyway, she still has that nature in her. She's just a puppy, but she wants to herd people already. So that's inbred. Again, there's really a lot of things to think about. You know, the follies, of what man is doing. I think his conclusion on page 73 is really great. It says, in the brief interval of calm between our latest capitulation to North Korea and our invasion of Haiti, it is worth pondering this small but telling domestic folly. Face it, our kids are not going to beat the Southern Koreans at math for decades, but we can still produce a thinking dog for now. And so that really is, I think it's a really good essay, and it really does fit in with the essay from before of dogs and men. Hopefully you're all out there and you're enjoying these discussions, you know, about Charles Krauthammer's essays. So now, if like I said, if there was time, I want to go in to this to another essay, and this essay is titled "The Inner Man Who Cares." Now, this is in this chapter 4, and it's a really I think it's a dynamic essay, and it really is something that is really appropriate for today. And again, he wrote this in 1999, and it's called "The Inner Man Who Cares." I think it's an amazing essay, and it's essentially it's kind of like the essay that we could look at it from the standpoint of history is repeating itself. And so let me just read this top quote, and then we'll get you involved in this discussion as well. As Bob Woodward likes to say, he is the gift that keeps on giving. And of course, I think you may have to go back and do some research on history, but Bob Woodward was a journalist. And of course, he did a lot of investigation at the time of Richard Nixon's impeachment. And so, and of course, there was the famous impeachment was Watergate. And so there's some history there. And so here, Charles Krauthammer is taking on, a new subject here. And again, this is in this chapter called Follies. He says, and an endless source of amusement he is. And so when you begin to kind of just read this first paragraph and you think about what's happening today, I don't think it's hard, or maybe it's a creative big leap, no pun intended on my last name here, by the way, but to believe that we could apply this to what's happening with Donald Trump. I mean, we've got all these impeachment things going on right now, and he is the laughingstock of journalism.
That's true.
I mean, he's the laughingstock of, you know, CNBC, you know, NBC, ABC. And he says, there's only one station out there, and that's Fox News, that has anything positive to say about President Trump. And so I really think all of you people out there listening, you really need to pay attention to this essay. It says, we have all been having a great chuckle listening to Nixon again.
There must have been something that was just released at that time in 1999. They were, periodically they left out. They would release tapes, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many years ago was this now?
Well, it was 1973.
1973. Yeah. So I was still in college, but we were dating
at the time.
So we were very young then. You know, but I don't. In some ways, I don't remember a lot of details about this. It's probably because I was trying to finish my senior year. He says, more tapes, more titillation, most notably his ranting and raving about Jews. He said, generally speaking, you can't trust the, and I won't read the next word on, the radio. But if you have it, let's see, I'm not sure. I think I cut the page number off this. I'm not sure what page it is. But anyway, if you have the book, just go to chapter 4 and you can find The Inner Man. I think it's up into page 90, something like that. Now, I think it's interesting that what he says here, he says, as a Jew, I have been asked several times about these revelations, and I am entirely unmoved. And so it sounds like, at the time, Krauthammer was in basically the same situation that we're in right now. Is, you know, here they have this tape from Richard Nixon, and he's probably, you know, saying something that everybody is really trying to condemn him for saying. And it's much like President Trump, even with this whole thing with Ukraine, you know, he released the transcript of what he said, and no one believes the transcript. They make up their own ideas about it. And so it just sounds like to me that what they're really doing is they were going after Nixon, and they were calling him an anti-Semite. And, you know, what do they call President Trump today? He's a racist, or he's, you know, he's this or he's that. And so he said, you know, they came to him, hey, you're a Jew. What do you think about this? And he says, I'm entirely unmoved by the whole thing. And so we know that, you know, Charles Krauthammer, you know, had a different approach to things. And he goes on to say, first, I wonder how anyone would fare who had an open microphone in his office for 3,700 hours running. Second, Nixon was suspicious and paranoid about everyone, so what else is new? And so he goes on to say then, third and most important, I don't really care what a public figure thinks. I care about what he does. Let God probe his inner heart. Tell me about his outer acts. All right, I have the unfortunate duty to tell you that we're out of time for this program. So what that means, people, is you're going to have to come back next time and listen to the next program. That's all the time we have for today's program. Next time, we'll continue our discussion of Charles Krauthammer's essay on the inner man who cares. We are now several essays into our new series titled A Tribute to Charles Krauthammer. We are reading selected portions of his book of essays titled Things That Matter. Now, you can buy this book at Amazon.com. You can find a used copy of the book at abebooks.com, and of course, you can also check your local library. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at jbliterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.